This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. Malaysia's first information ecosystem assessment, or IEA, was recently published, and it identifies information needs, gaps, dynamics, and impact among youths and marginalized communities. So done by Internews in collaboration with the Center for Independent Journalism, the report aims to reveal quote-unquote deeply local information, which is then used to seek a human-centered understanding of how people and communities find, share, value, trust and produce information in their own local context. So what does all of that mean? We're going to find out from Nadia Rosli and Hanani Wan Alkamar Shah, who are both project directors with Internews in Malaysia and also both co-authors of the IEA report. Welcome, ladies. How are you today?
Hi.
Thank you, Juliet. Yeah, thanks for having us.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining me. So I think, you know, not many people are familiar with Internews, right? And the work that's actually carried out by the organization. Maybe you could start off by explaining that to us.
Yes, sure, Juliet. So Internews is an international nonprofit organization on media development. So we believe everyone deserves trustworthy, high quality news and information to make informed decisions about their lives and eventually hold power to account. We train local and independent journalists, media activists, and civil society to tackle this information. And we do all of this in partnership with local communities who are the very people best placed to know what works. We support independent media in 100 countries, from radio stations in refugee camps to hyper-local news outlets to individual activists and reporters. For more than 35 years, Internews has worked to build healthy media and information environments where they are most needed. We operate from administrative centers in California, Washington, D.C., London and Paris, as well as regional hubs in Bangkok and Nairobi.
Okay. And anything you wanted to add to that, Hanani?
So basically, we have been also operating in specialized areas such as humanitarian, health. In fact, we have extensive programs to combat the disinformation surrounding COVID-19 and also the vaccination hesitancy around the world. So we are glad to have a base in Malaysia, even though we are still new. And we look forward to work with all partners and stakeholders, you know, to carry out projects surrounding disinformation, information and building a healthy information ecosystem in Malaysia.
Okay. And, you know, you kind of alluded to, you know, the work that Malaysia does. But what are some of the areas that Internews Malaysia actually focuses on?
Right. So our programs are based on the new Internews strategic framework, which is built towards having a more healthy information ecosystems around the world, which we believe are very essential to solve the current information crisis. It has 5 pillars. The first one is actually good, accurate, evidence-based information, which equate to good information. The second is information that everyone can safely access, meaning everyone can safely get the locally relevant information that they need from diverse sources in the languages that they understand. The third is information that consumers know how to critically access. So this is about information literacy, media literacy, and we strive to ensure that people can sift through noise or disinformation to find the information that they need to make informed choices. And then the fourth one, we also value communities and business sustainability model. So we have done a lot of work also to make sure that business or media, especially, you know, in the era of COVID, where there's a furlough and there's a layoff. So the businesses that operate in the media world should be more sustainable financially and also have a sustainable workforce. And the last one is actually government and businesses that are accountable for sustaining healthy information ecosystem environment. So in Malaysia, as I mentioned before, we are quite new. Our presence is just over a year and a half. And our programming, we try to ensure that it is in tune with the local political and social development. So through our partners, we are working to improve journalism best practices. We empower youth and local communities to use their voices for advocacy and to foster information literacy, as well as to promote public discourses to address press freedom and declining space of freedom of expression.
Okay, that's a lot of things on your plate, actually. And how big is the team? Is it fairly, you said it's fairly new. Do you have quite a big team or is it just the two of you?
There are three of us.
I wasn't far off. Okay, that's a lot of work for the three of you. But I mean, really, really important work. And, you know, both of you are also project directors with Internews in Malaysia. Hanani, you manage something called Ayo Belia. And Nadia, you manage a project called Suara Masyarakat. Am I correct? Maybe both of you can help elaborate on the work that you do through both these projects. Maybe we can start with Hanani.
Yeah, sure. So my project called Ayo Belia, we work with local partners to advance the freedom of expression in Malaysia by increasing young leaders' understanding of their role as stakeholders in advocating for freedom of expression. We also want to strengthen the capacity on collaboration between civil society and the youth so they can contribute constructively to public discourses and advocacy campaigns, and also actually nation building. So since 2020, we have impacted more about 2,500 youth through innovative interactive online workshops. We have FOE forums, we have data literacy workshops, and also Youth Advocacy Academy, which actually right now has been run by our partner MCCHR. And at this moment, actually, they have the second cohort running in East Malaysia.
Okay, excellent. So very youth-focused, obviously, because it's called Ayo Belia. And what about you, Nadia? You're working on Suara Masyarakat.
So Suara Masyarakat, or, you know, Community Voices. So it's a three-year program funded by the EU, and its aim is to strengthen the capacity of media as a key player in promoting good governance, transparency and accountability. To help media fulfill its watchdog role, Internews, we train journalists, activists and civil society in producing high quality data, investigative and mobile journalism. Mm. So since last year, we've done data journalism workshops. We've concluded two data journalism workshops. We've done one investigative journalism workshop. We're having another one sometime in June. And we will be launching our mobile journalism mentorship program also middle of this year. So ultimately, Suara Masyarakat hopes to develop community information media to improve local governance by providing two-way communication between citizens and authorities. We also strive to ensure safe access to information for women and girls, marginalized communities, youth, and especially those underrepresented in media.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're working with media organizations as well as community groups as well. Am I correct? I mean, that's kind of what it...
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, excellent. And I do know that one of the groups that you're working with is the Center for Independent Journalism, right? And together, you know, in collaboration, you published what we alluded to earlier, the country's first Information Ecosystem Assessment Report, IEA. I've never heard of that before. So maybe, you know, you could help explain what this IEA is all about. You know, am I right in saying that it's a relatively new assessment framework, I guess, here in Malaysia?
Yes, that's true. And we do hope that the word IEA or the term can roll off everyone's tongues quite easily after this, after this introduction. So it is a relatively new assessment framework whereby IEAs are designed to identify how information flows through communities. And this aligns with Internews value of, we call listen, listen, listen. So, you know, we push for this very strongly. So IEAs are like a mapping exercise. So we map the information ecosystem by establishing first an overview of the quantity and quality of media available to the populations we are interested in. So from there, we can capture all dimensions of the relationship between information consumers and information supply. So whether it be by word of mouth, through trusted community leaders, local media, social and or other intermediaries. So IEA is an analytical framework developed by Internews. Since 2010, we have produced more than 50 IEAs along with related standalone research. So IEAs are the first stage of project design. So it's the basis of which our programs are developed and implemented. And the research has led to a variety of media interventions in dozens of countries. For example, citizen journalism initiatives, trainings, humanitarian activities, rumor tracking, and etc. So we propose and design projects based on IEA findings that are tailored exclusively to deliver for each unique context. So an IEA is intended to reveal deeply local information, as you've mentioned, which is then used to seek a human-centered understanding of how people and communities find, share, value, trust, and produce information in their own local context. And I think Hanani can describe more on what that local context actually means for Malaysia.
Yeah, so in Malaysia, we are very diverse and we have, you know, multicultural, even some observation that we see there's an intergenerational issue. We want the IEA to define this information behavior, you know, in the context of Malaysia. You know, there's a lot of factors interplay. For example, the age, the community, the political inclination, even the environment that, you know, people actually, you know, been brought up. So there's a issue of locality, whether you're in rural or in urban, right? Whereby in urban, we have more access to digital media, whereby in rural, they depend more on village shape or mouth-to-mouth communication. So in the constant quest of human being to connect with the information, so we really want to discover the nuances. And actually, we want to be surprised, you know, in a way that how they consume or produce or interact and behave around the information ecosystem supply, but at the same time also how they produce information among themselves, which is the cornerstone of why we roll out IEA in Malaysia.
Okay, all right. Well, I mean, that's really fascinating, and I'm going to find out more about, you know, this particular IEA after this quick break. I'm speaking to Nadia Rosli and Hanani Wan Alkamasha. They are both project directors with Internews in Malaysia, and they are also co-authors of Malaysia's first information ecosystem assessment. And we're going to find out more about that again after this quick break. You're listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs, and joining me on the line today are Nadia Rosli and Hanani Wan Alkamasha, who are both project directors with Internews in Malaysia, and they are also co-authors of the first information ecosystem assessment in Malaysia, which was recently published, and that was done in collaboration with the Centre for Independent Journalism. So before the break, you know, we were talking about what exactly an IEA is, right? And why is an assessment like this, you know, something that, as you mentioned, you know, captures dimensions of the relationship between information consumers and information supply? Why is something like that important?
So basically, we want to see whether, you know, this information ecosystem can actually contribute to, let's say, in the use, their nation building and civic participation, you know, in the case of Suara Masyarakat, whereby the participation of women and youth in terms of feeding back the information and also their needs and wants to their communities are very important. So this will create a feedback loop between, not within the community themselves, but if we go out and then go to local authorities or local government, it will be more manifested when we got inclusivity in terms of our information ecosystem. We also ultimately want to identify the most effective formats and channels to use when designing a two-way communication strategies. This is coming back to Nadia's point that in Internews, we really emphasize on listen. The participatory approach that we have been doing throughout the years is very important. And rather than imposing our programs on community based on our preconceived assumption, we want them to come up by themselves and then say, this is what we want, and then we are the ones supposed to roll it up instead of Internews or our own partners.
Yes, so in that sense, I just want to add that so we don't propose or conduct an IEA as an end product in itself, but it's actually the first stage of our project design, and it's the first step in building a trust relationship with the communities we hope to work with. And also looking at who are the target beneficiaries, this goes back to, you know, the programs Suara Masyarakat, Ayo Belia, where we look at youths, women, marginalized communities. And so in terms of these groups and communities, they're further than what we typically see in more developed parts of the country, such as Klang Valley or Penang. So people are in the interior locations of Kelantan, Sabah and Sarawak, where infrastructure and facilities remain stagnant. So this, you know, this posed as roadblocks to the information ecosystem in this location. And the IEA work itself needs to involve all members of the community in creating, you know, questionnaires and having conversations with participants, as Hanini mentioned, to really understand and, you know, provide the needs that they think are most important to them, so that we don't impose our own assumptions on these communities.
And that's something that does happen, right? We kind of like parachute in and just, you know, force sort of our ideas on other people. And I understand that the target beneficiaries consists of youths and rural indigenous communities. And there's also an emphasis on women and youths, right? So they were chosen for this study. Why were these particular segments of the population chosen in particular?
So youths, they make up 30% of the population. So we're interested to know beyond their consumption of social media or radio and TV, what information that they need towards being more involved in community or nation building. So I think this is a very pertinent conversation that we're having, you know, with Undi 18, and also generally just giving more space, you know, for the youth to express their own wants and needs, which is could be sidelined in any kind of program design. And as for women, rural communities, marginalized people, we consider them underrepresented in media. And as Hanan mentioned, that feedback loop is not necessarily there because they don't necessarily have the right platforms to air, you know, their concerns, be it, you know, health, environmental issues, you know, land rights and so on. So these are kind of the groups that we really want to zoom into and work together, you know, in terms of getting authorities to also listen to them in terms of their wants and needs. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So kind of like a bridge between the communities, yes, and the decision makers, policy makers, etc. Okay. All right. And how was this particular assessment carried out? Because, you know, it's very varied, you know, really wide research. So how was the research actually conducted? And, you know, was there a particular time frame that it was carried out, you know, during?
Right. So it was conducted between August and October 2020, considering we're in, you know, in the MCO and COVID-19 was persist back then. It was conducted in three states, Sabah, Sarawak and Kelantan, and nationwide for the youth assessment. So we have 623 participants, thanks to the local resource person and community researchers who diligently reach out to these communities, gain their trust, you know, because sometimes they are quite wary about, you know, this kind of studies. So the way we did the study is more about mixed methods and what works the best for the communities. So it involved focus group discussions. Even we go house to house for a survey. We also interview some of the key informants like village chief. We also do mapping, which is very surprisingly revealed a lot of insights that we couldn't get from the qualitative and also quantitative surveys. For youth, we did online survey because basically they are not in the campus at that time. And at the end, we perform a cross analysis across all the location reports just to gain, you know, the nationwide analysis and insights, you know, how women, youth from rural, urban, think about their information ecosystem. I would like to highlight also, all of this cannot be, you know, done unless we engage, you know, local community researchers and resource person. So actually the star of the IA Malaysia is not us, it's actually our resource persons, like Dr. Kari, Tracy, Nilo and Mustafa from Sabah, Sarawak, Gua Musang, who are very engaged with the communities and they help us to carry out this successfully. So credit goes to them.
Okay, so they are your community researchers, am I correct?
Right.
Okay. Flash rock stars, yeah.
Right. So, I mean, this is really getting down to the ground, really going into the communities, really meeting people and getting it firsthand information from them, gathering the information from the sources directly, wasn't it?
Yeah. We had that small windows of opportunity after MCO was lifted for Kelantan, Sabah and Sarawak. Uh-huh. And then even Nadia and I traveled to Gua Musang to meet with the resource person and get to do FGD for the communities. We observe all the SOPs, no worries. but again, the collection of data is really to adapt to each community's circumstances and requests. There's some protocols that we need to observe, you know, get the permission from the village chief, maybe socialize the whys first to the community, why we want to do this IA and how it pertinent to their day-to-day struggles.
Of course, yeah.
We also have like challenging weather, infrastructure and logistics challenges and long hours. I remember that our resource person in Sarawak have to travel, I think like 7 to 8 hours, you know, to Nangga Pekatan just to conduct the FGDs. So at the end, it is rewarding. And we look forward to work more with these communities.
I'm just curious, you know, how did you identify these particular communities? Like you said, there was a particular one in Sabah, for example, and I'm guessing there's a particular one in Guamusang and all of these different places. Did you work together to identify which communities that you would be reaching out to?
For Guamusang, I think it was a very great coincidence and a nice one that we were trying to find, you know, resource persons during that MCO period. So it was, I think, like 3 weeks where we actually got in touch with another NGO, Kwasa, who happened to have like a consultation with the Guamusang folks. So we were like, can we join? And that's where we set up the meeting with Mustafa. So that was the first time I actually met Mustafa. Mm-hmm. So I think within 3 weeks of meeting him and kind of just, you know, asking for his opinion on the research and him getting engaging back with the community and, you know, telling us what they feel about the assessment. So we got the green light basically from the communities through Mustafa. And I think within the, within meeting him, I think, and actually carrying out the IEA, it was less than a month. So that was quite a very swift process. Mm. For Sabah and Sarawak, the resource persons were coordinated through CIG. So they had engagement with them. And Dr. Khairi was basically, I think, Hanani introduced him to the team as well to do the youth assessment research. So, yeah, so I think it was just like a series of either coincidences and also like, you know, meetings that we already had prior to the IEA.
True, your networks already there.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And how did the communities respond, you know, to these studies being conducted, you know, to being asked all these questions? Were they interested? Were they critical? You know, were they suspicious of you guys? How did it go?
I think overall they were receptive. I think this is thanks to the trust that had existed between the resource persons and the community before the IEA started. Obviously, there were a lot of concerns about COVID and just how we were going to implement the IEA. But I think once that was sorted out and we got, you know, their consent and also we agreed to their own request on how they wanted to do the assessment, that was sorted. But so we also did validation exercises, which were carried out after we analyzed, you know, the data. So we had validation exercises with the youth, with the group in Sabah and in Kelantan. And they are generally optimistic. They agree with the findings. And they want us to follow up, you know, with activities and programs so that they can socialize this finding with the authorities. For instance, in Guamusang, Moose, who is our resource person, he said that the IEA is the first assessment carried out with their community, the Temiah community, mm-hmm. which involved 100% planning, participation and input from community members. So that was like, so they really appreciated the fact that they could openly, you know, air their concerns, talk freely about a lot of controversial issues that were not necessarily, you know, allowed to before in previous assessments they were involved in.
Okay. Can you walk me through, I guess, what the overarching themes and findings were, you know, from the IEA?
So we identify 8 main themes from the IEA. So the first one is more about the lack of basic infrastructure, such as electricity cuts and poor or non-existent internet coverage, which is a major barrier to accessing information. And then surprisingly, Pusat Internet Satu Malaysia is really in high demand in rural communities. There's a case study within our IEA itself that demonstrates how this center can be the hub for knowledge, social and entrepreneurship in rural community. They even have a poster board where they put a weekly bulletin. And it's actually more accessible compared to the one posted in the Balai Raya.
Wow. Okay.
So that's how popular Pusat Internet Ratu Malaysia is. And TV also still remains as the most trusted sources of information across all locations and age groups, despite digital media growth. And they just want locally relevant news, especially on health and COVID-19. For people in Sabah, Sarawak and Guamusang, they really want information that is verified, that is all about their community and land rights issues. And surprisingly also, I'm not sure it's surprisingly, but it's sort of expected, but 72% of our respondents stated explicitly that, you know, they have high distrust in political news and also information. Nadia, want to add?
That also includes politicians. So.
Right.
Oh dear.
Yeah, so other themes that we also identified were... For instance, fake news is a major problem. across all media and communication platforms. So this is something that you know, we really want to pay attention to as well. And also in terms of influences, we found out that politicians, religious leaders, and village chiefs affect the effectiveness in providing information to the public. And I think this goes back to social dynamics, you know, within the information ecosystem itself. Last but not least, we also found out that self-determination and empowerment of communities can be achieved by using hyper-local news and news outlets and mediums. So this goes back to community media, whereby 77% of our respondents, they want local content and current issues in their community media.
Okay, and how do they actually get their information? Is that something that you also kind of studied as well?
Right. So information channel and also dynamic web access is one of the key components of IEA. Mm-hmm. So for example, for the youth IEA, we try to compare between genders and also between localities. And we found out that youth in general, they just want media that's accessible. Mm-hmm. You know, this is compared to your us or maybe our parents that, you know, we prefer newspapers. They want sort of like tangible newspapers to read and to peruse. But for youth, they just want something accessible, something can just be accessed within minutes. So they prefer radio. They prefer, of course, a smartphone. Mm-hmm. And they don't really prefer newspaper in general. Okay. And also in terms of locality, I want to relate back to Gua Musang. This is also very, very surprisingly, based on the mapping that we done with one of the groups in Gua Musang, they realized how important signals and signs from nature to their livelihood. So actually, nature also is a source of information where they want to predict weather, where they want to go to fish. So it's also related back to sustainability as a whole. Mm-hmm. So when we do IEA, it's not just about information, data, and, you know, and words. It's more about, you know, how even nature, even the social and political construct actually contributes to the existing information ecosystem that they experience, whether they realize it or not, in their community.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if that doesn't encapsulate deeply local knowledge, I don't know what else does really, right? Yeah.
Right.
And one of the objectives of conducting the IEA in Malaysia was to understand if there is a space for community media, right? And the factors that can ensure its sustainability. Why was that something that was important?
So I guess it's worth noting that, you know, the Internews mantra or slogan is local voices, global change. So I guess this encapsulates, you know, the whole spirit of community media and the objectives of community media. So where it plays life-saving roles, where, you know, communities with without other access to, you know, other forms of media. So I think also we've understood community media as a form of opposition or an alternative, you know, to mainstream media. But it's also important that community media plays a role to mainstream conversations. So we want to shift that, you know, not just an alternative or an opposition form of media. Community media is something that will mainstream what the local wants and the conversations that's happening, you know, on a grassroots level. And, you know, for communities to produce their own community media platforms, you know, they need to be able to communicate as they wish about whatever subject, you know, they wish, and also whenever they wish to do this. And that's where community media also plays a role. So it also talks about, we also look into how community media in terms of, you know, the ownership and control, who will have, you know, access to this, how community media is actually a service to the very communities that, you know, that actually benefit from it. Also the participation, and also looking into how the business model actually serves the community media. So it's more of a non-profit business model. Mm. So so I guess this is like early days of, you know, this kind of initiatives for Internews and also with potential partners. So I guess the IEA sets a strong foundation into like understanding all these gaps, challenges, and even potential, you know, for community media amongst these communities.
Okay, so, you know, I think you said it just now, Naya, it's the first step in building relationships with these marginalized communities, right? So now that you've come up with all these findings, you know, what are some of the recommendations that you have also come up with, you know, based on all of that?
So it is sort of like a delight and a surprise because at the end, even our own assumption has been challenged. So we first thought that, you know, everyone wants community radio or community TV, right? Turns out, as we mentioned before, Pusat Internet Satu Malaysia is highly in demand. And the community media understanding also has been expanded through this study. So they prefer radio, but they also like other means too. For example, the community in Gua Musang, they really want to explore visual forms of media through films or photographies because of, you know, literacy issue. This also brings back to, you know, their own experience back in 1970s. Whereby the elders have been hired by extras in a film, and they really cherish the experience.
Okay.
So they want these visual tools to expand the community media rather than just radio. And also, it's very insightful undertaking for an organization, because at the end we learn it's not about, you know, we need to push our own agenda, so impose what we think the best for the communities. So any programs moving forward should be tailored to target beneficiaries, with them having the front seat rather than us. We can provide the funding, the training, but at the end, you know, they are the one who will be proud to roll out this initiative. When we talk to the communities in Nangga Bekatan, they have done a microgram project before, and it's all about done by themselves. So they are very competent. They can, you know, establish their own community media. In this case, they prefer radio because of the distances and geographical situations. They are very competent, and they want to embark on this initiative moving forward.
Okay. And, you know, what else is going to happen? You know, how are you going to take these recommendations and execute those with the relevant stakeholders that are involved?
So we've identified several fronts to do this. One of them is the programmatic side of things. So this is looking at the supply side of the information ecosystem. So it's very important that we address the gaps for, you know, bottom to top feedback loop and engagement. So we want to close the gap between supply and demand. We want to engage stakeholders at the local level to work together with target beneficiaries in terms of, you know, addressing the information information gaps that we've identified through the study. For instance, you know, Pusat Internet One Malaysia, you know, for effective localized response and communication, we really want to engage with the local authorities. We also want for more citizen media kind of initiatives to be promoted in these local communities as well, using some of the approaches that we mentioned, and just for them to have safe access to information in general. So when we talk about lack of basic infrastructure, you know, things like having no electricity or even information in their own local languages, this all means good and safe access to information. So we want to promote that as well. On the demand side of the information ecosystem, we really want to highlight inclusivity in terms of trainings and resources provided. We want to broaden the pool of grassroots activists in marginalized communities to, you know, to make them more information savvy, to include more women and youths in decision making. In Gua Musang, the women there actually really want us to conduct women-only workshops, you know, with female trainers and mentors at women-friendly locations for training. They did mention that they don't have any problems, you know, raising issues or concerns to the village chiefs, you know, in a communal setting. But there are certain topics like health and reproductive issues that they feel, you know, more comfortable talking about just, you know, within, you know, the female group, or even what Hanani mentioned, like the local and traditional knowledge about environment, you know, as something that women have, you know, deep knowledge about. So it's kind of just like a safe space for them to exchange ideas and information. So that's something we really want to do and go back to Gua Musang to carry out. And in terms of policy recommendations, there are many, you know, as you would assume, or I guess basically in terms of the information landscape that we have now in Malaysia. But I think for the IEA findings, what we really want to emphasize is basically, you know, to really address the supply side of the information ecosystem in terms of improving policies, and also for feasibility studies to be carried out for community media for the target beneficiaries. You know, looking at whether there are problems with power outages or mobile sickness. So there's something that we really want to collaborate in terms with local authorities. And I guess freedom of information, legal provisions at state and federal level. You know, we want to look into that so that the communities can get information about, you know, their NCR land matters and be represented in consultation with state land policies and other issues that are important to them as well.
Okay. All right. That's a lot. I mean, and I went through the report and there is a lot there. There's so much information, you know, for each of the communities. There's different findings from even various sectors within one community, right? There's so much of information there. But, you know, if people want to find out more, if they want to read that report or download it, you know, how can they best do that?
Yes, so they can go to the InterNews website, www.internews.org. The reports, which are available in English and in Bahasa, are both on the website. So you can just put in search the IEA Malaysia on the website and you will be led to that page. And we also, I think, have a video that we produced for the soft launch last month, which actually explains the journey or the process of producing this IEA. So yes, a lot of information on that page. But if they want to get in touch with us, any potential partners out there, any CSOs or even grassroots organizations that are keen to partner with InterNews, they can get in touch with us. Either through Hanani or through me.
Okay, I guess just head to internews.org, search for Malaysia and everything will be there, yeah?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Like we said, this is just the start. Now that the report is out, now the other hard work begins. So again, if you'd like to find out more, just head to internews.org. Thank you, ladies, so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much.
I've been speaking to Nadia Rosli and Hanani Wan Alkamasha. They are both project directors with InterNews in Malaysia. They're also co-authors of Malaysia's first information ecosystem assessment, which was done in collaboration with the Center for Independent Journalism. And if you miss any part of today's interview or any previous Live and Learn interviews, you can search for the podcast on our BFM app or at bfm.my. This has been Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.